from all our foes. Through the crucible unscathed, we passed victorious. Our trumpets pealing the glorious song. Play it, sing it, all hail Biafra. All hail Biafra. We shall always remember all that perished in the struggle for our freedom. All hail our heroes, our prayer shall be.
Good evening, wonderful people, great Biafrans, wherever you are on this planet. This is Radio Biafra. It has returned to London, its headquarters. We are welcoming you wherever you are. We are saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening, even good night to some people, because Radio Biafra is listened to in every country on this planet. Radio Biafra is received in every time zone. Wherever you have Biafrans, you receive Radio Biafra there. We are saying thank you for joining us. We also thank those that made our stay in America an exceptional one. My name is Nnamdi Kanu. I happen to be the host and director of Radio Biafra, by the grace of God, a servant of the wonderful people of Biafra, wherever you are on this planet. On this day, the 21st of July, in the year of our Lord 2013, we are welcoming you. We are saying, please, that we enjoy you listening to us and all the work that you've been doing. We acknowledge it one after the other, that in the United States, we can confidently announce to the world that we have Biafrans in the United States of America, and they are going to go from strength to strength. They are going to continue to build on what we have founded over there. And the message of Biafra is getting into every home, is getting into every family, and we want to ask you to continue doing the same wherever you are. On this day, please, want to ask you to do a few things before we commence fully, which is to please go to your Facebook, go to your BlackBerry, go to your Twitter, go on every social media platform you're on and tell your friends that you're listening to Radio Biafra. Please ask them to go to direct them to www.radiobiafra.co. Ask them to go to beliehumanrights.org. Ask them to go to peopleofbiafra.org. Ask them to go to indigenouspeopleofbiafra.org. We are covered. If you're experiencing any difficulties, all you need to do is to refresh your browser. Please refresh your browser. Also, join us on Facebook. If you log into Facebook, ask to join Radio Biafra London. And once you've joined, also invite your friends to do the same. Thank you very much. Once again, we are welcoming you. The studio of Radio Biafra is full because the entire editorial board is here. They'll be greeting you one after the other in a short while. But first of all, let us go to our sister, Chidera, who is in Tennessee, to bring us the news today. Please, Chidera, go ahead and greet our wonderful listeners.
Hello, wonderful listeners of Biafra. My name is Chidera Akabo from here, Johnson City, Tennessee, and I'm happy to find out that the whole members of the editorial board is there. And if you wouldn't mind, I want to say hello to them by mentioning their names one by one. Dr. Egemba Barisai, Mamezu, who is my own brother, Uchimefo, and Mwadamach. I don't know if Chukunebuneze is there.
Yes, he is here, and also our main barrister himself, the one fighting Nigeria on that front, is here, Barrister Emeka Adolf. Emeka is also here, yes.
Oh, okay, I'm saying hello to him as well, and I'm welcoming everyone to this segment of the broadcast.
Thank you. And also, our sister is here. When people say we don't have people from the minority, this and that, we a member of Radio Biafra editorial board is actually Ibibio. So that people
wow.
Exactly.
Let me hello to her. Is she from Akwa Ibom?
Yes, she is, yes.
Oh, that's I'm so happy to have her there. Just send me hello to her. What's her name?
She's here. Oge Jionia Polonia Akamo. In a short while, she's going to use her mouth to call the person selling her. What's Akamu in Igbo language? Pap.
Akamu is pap.
It can be pap in Igbo language.
Akamu is
Igbo.
Oh.
They say Akamu is Yoruba language.
No. Ogi is.
Akamu is our own.
Yes.
Akamu is our own.
Uh-huh. So she'll use her mouth to call Akamu seller in a short while.
Be careful so that Barista Mamet doesn't arrest you in this Igbo business.
We'll try and do that. Thank you very much. Please stay where you are. You're going to give us the news in a short while. We'll go around now very gently, one after the other, please, because the editorial board of Radio Biafra is here. Please greet our wonderful listeners all over the world to announce to them that Radio Biafra has returned to London, from where it is reaching the entire humanity on this day, please. If I can start from my right, please. Barristers first, because they are learned people. So we start with them, because they claim they are learned. Please, barrister.
Thank you.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, director. Yes, we are learned, really. I agree, we are learned. And every other person is educated.
Yes.
Yeah, wonderful people. I greet all of you, Biafrans all over the world, and the friends of Biafrans all over the world. I greet all of you. I am Barrister Emeka Emekesiri, the attorney for the Biafrans. We are happy that you're with us, and we enjoin you to continue listening and continue blessing us, and also receiving blessing from Radio Biafra. Thank you very much.
Yeah, good evening, fellow Biafrans, friends of Biafrans, and all the people who have been listening to us. We thank you for hosting Director for the past 4 weeks in America, Canada, and all the rest of the places where he has been. We are so grateful. Well, we got him back, and we're happy. It's Barrister Imam Mizu.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Edem Numezu. I'm from Akwa Ibom in Eket local government. Hello.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. That's Eket.
Hello, listeners. Wonderful. Wherever you are in the whole wide world, we are welcome to London once more, back to the historical headquarters of Radio Biafra. We thank all of you, wherever you are, for keeping faith with Radio Biafra, following us on our journey to spread this gospel according to Radio Biafra for the liberation of our people. And also a special thank to all our brothers in the Americas for doing a wonderful job in hosting the mobile team of Radio Biafra. Now we are back to London. Thank you very much, and please sit back and relax and ready yourself for what we are going to bring to you today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, good evening, fellow Biafrans, wherever you are in the world. You are welcome to today's edition of Radio Biafra. We are happy to have our director back, and we thank you for keeping faith with Radio Biafra, and for all those in America and Canada that have hosted Radio Biafra. They should continue to support Radio Biafra. We all welcome you to today's program.
Thank you very much.
Hello, fellow Biafrans and friends of Biafrans. You're welcome to the program. It's my humble self, your servant, Amarachi Opara.
Yes, no longer Wada. when somebody leaves Wada to become something else, what's she called now?
Wada, Amarachi Opara, as you all call me.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have you, yes.
Hello, fellow Biafrans. My name is Uchenna for welcoming you to this segment of Radio Biafra live broadcast from the studios of Radio Biafra here in London. Biafra is once again put on the international stage, and we thank all those who have joined the initiative, and also enjoin all those who have not to join the initiative, and together we're going to restore Biafra. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We are going to get Biafra in truth and honesty. That is the key. To get Biafra in truth and honesty, that is the number one priority. Not just to get Biafra, but Biafra must be gotten anchored in truth and also under God himself in heaven. We are welcoming you wherever you are once again. That this is Radio Biafra. We may be having slight problems with our telephone connection here. The Radio Biafra, the normal Radio Biafra studio line is not going through. And as a result, most of our calls today will be taken via Skype. Please, we ask you to add Radio Biafra to your Skype list. Or are we allowed to give out a temporary number for today? Is that correct? Yes, we'll give out a temporary number for today. Please do call +44. Is that it? It's still +44. Or one way, it doesn't change, has it?
No.
It's still +44 in England, yes?
Yeah.
+44 758 171 2444. That's the only number that comes to my head. +44 758 171 2444. That's for today only, please. After today, we revert back to our normal studio line. It should be back functioning by tomorrow. +44 758 171 2444. This is Radio Biafra, and also add us on Skype as well. And also the Viber is working. Viber, you should also call. Please call +44 758 171 2444. Please, Chidera, if you're still there, we're handing over to you to please bring us the news headlines and accompanying summary, please, if you may.
The news headlines: ex Zamfara governor Yerima slams critics saying nothing is wrong with early marriage. Nigeria is a country of pedophiles. We're also reporting that northern governors are arming militias for 2015 election. They're also saying that religion can't divide North. We're also reporting that President Jonathan and four northern governors are playing hide-and-seek drama in Obasanjo's house. And lastly, that Bishop Akami Soko seeks capital punishment for Boko Haram. Now the news in detail. Serving Senator and former Governor of Zamfara State, Ahmed Sani Yerima, yesterday amplified his support for early marriage when he stated that he could give out his six-year-old daughter in marriage if need be. Yerima had on Tuesday successfully prevented an amendment to the second part of Section 22 of the Constitution by the Senate, which dwells on affirming someone as of age once the person is married, though the person could be lower than 18 years of age. Yerima, who came under attacks in 2011 for allegedly getting married to a 13-year-old girl, yesterday replied his critics who have been lampooning him for promoting marriage for the underage. He stated in an online publication yesterday that he did not deserve such criticisms, saying, "Nigeria has many uncountable problems, and none of them is early marriage. As a matter of fact, early marriage is the solution to about half of our problems." Senator and former Governor Ahmed Sani, the Yerima Bakura himself, has finally had his way. The Nigerian Senate has bowed to his will and agreed to be silent about the age that young girls can get married in Nigeria. What this means, once it is followed through and enshrined in our laws and constitution, is that girls that are as young as 9 years old, provided they are deemed as having been physically developed enough by their suitors, could be lawfully bedded and married in our country. That is the sordid level that we have now as a people and as a nation degenerated to. I weep for Nigeria, and perhaps more appropriately, I weep for the Nigerian girl child. Yet we have no choice but to live with this new reality and to accept it as it is. After all, our representatives in the sacred halls of the Senate were not sensitive enough or man enough to shoot down the whole thing, to stand firmly against their unholy agenda, and to say boldly and firmly that, come what may, our children must be protected from sexual deviance and reprobate. For quite a while, since he wisely recalled to his cocoon after his prolonged trial for allegedly sponsoring Boko Haram insurgency, Senator Ali Ndume has been out of the news camera lens, presumably to avoid undue controversy. When the chairman, Senate Committee on Millennium Development Goals, MDG, however, eventually decided to bow to the pressure from our correspondent, Adetutu Fola Sadekoi, for this no-holds-barred interview, he spares no words on excessive powers of the governors. He raises the alarm that they are already arming militia groups for 2015 elections. Prominent northern leaders have dismissed as invalid and of no effect whatsoever an alleged deal between President Goodluck Jonathan and some leading Islamic scholars aimed at ensuring his success in the 2015 presidential election. reacting to the deal allegedly brokered by former governor of Zamfara State, Senator Ahmed Yerima. The northern leaders described the move as an attempt to divide the region and present Jonathan as having a solid support base in that part of the country. Second Republic House of Representatives member Dr. Junaid Mohammed, who is the fierce agitator for power shift to the north, said that the move by the president to divide the north would fail and claimed that Yerima has no clout in the north to get the people behind the president. The undercurrents in the PDP ahead of the 2015 presidential race played out on a grand scale yesterday in Abeokuta with President Goodluck Jonathan, former President Olusegun Obasanjo and Governors Murtala Nyako of Adamawa State, Shule Lamido of Jigawa, Aliyu Wamako of Sokoto, and Rabiu Pampaso of Kano as dramatis personae. President Jonathan and the governors were on separate appointments with Obasanjo at his Hilltop residence, but the state chief executives, who are not on the best of terms with the president, avoided contact with him all through their stay in Abeokuta. All the four voted for Governor Rotimi Amaechi of Rivers State in the recent election of chairman of the Nigeria Governors Forum, shunning Governor Jonah Jang of Plateau State, who was President Jonathan's candidate. The Anglican Church in Nigeria has called for capital punishment for members of the Boko Haram sect. The Bishop of Kubwa Diocese, Right Reverend Duke Akamisoko, said this in an interview with Thunder Punch on the sidelines of a press briefing to herald the forthcoming synod meeting of the church. According to him, until President Goodluck Jonathan mustered the courage and political will to deal with the people behind the group, the killings will not stop. He said, "If you kill, the simple thing is that you must also be killed. Don't take life because life is too precious. Capital punishment for Boko Haram members is well supported. Do you expect that if you kill, you will be compensated? No, not at all. It is biblical. I am not talking about Nigerian constitution or human rights. I am talking of the Bible that I read. If you kill, you will be killed." This is the news of today, the 21st of July, Anno Domini 2013. Over to you, Director.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. There's quite a lot to get through, and luckily for us, we have a lot of people here in the studio to do justice to one of the or all of the issues that we're covering today. Is the issue of pedophilia, the official classification of Nigeria, the Zoological Republic of Nigeria, as a country of pedophiles, a place where it is legal for you to go and pick a child as young as 9, as young as 2, as young as 1. Even those in the stomach, you can book them. Once they do scanning and know is a female, you can book that child in advance prior to delivery. Once the girl is delivered, you can take over. That is the type of country, that is the type of hell that people want us to live in. We are also reporting that this Bishop Akamisoko, he is seeking capital punishment for Boko Haram members, which I think some people will support. Some people will support this because if you take a life, your own life should also be taken. The northern governors are the ones arming militias for 2015 elections in the Zoological Republic. They are the ones arming them, bringing chaos. We are predicting once again that Nigeria is inevitably collapsing on or before 2015 should the current trend of events continue. The ex-Zamfara governor, the lover of children, the arch-pedophile himself, Yerima, has slammed his critics, saying nothing is wrong in early marriage. These are his own words. Serving senator and former governor of Zamfara State, Ahmed Sani Yerima, that married a 9-year-old Egyptian girl. Let us not forget, he is looking to legitimize it. If they go to a function, I don't know how they're going to look. If you have a 9-year-old beside you attending a function and you're a granddad, I don't know how that looks. But we have people who may be able to tell us precisely how they will feel if they see two of them together. He on Tuesday successfully prevented an amendment to the second part of the Section 22 of the Constitution by the Senate, which dwells on affirming someone as of age once that person is married, though the person could be lower than 18 years of age. This man, Yerima, came under attack in 2011 for allegedly getting married to a 13-year-old girl. Yesterday, he replied his critics who had been lampooning him for promoting underage marriage, which is child sex attack, we have lawyers here in England to tell us what it is. Because here they don't call it sex, they call it rape, child rape. Once you sleep with somebody below the age of 17 or 16, they say it's rape, it's statutory rape. It is considered, even if the child consents, even if the child says yes to you, or even if the child is pursuing you all over the street and you end up touching her, you are finished. You are a rapist. But in the zoo, in fact, you'll be a senator. If you start raping children now, you who knows, you might make it to become a senator. That is what is happening. So some people may have issues with this, and we would welcome them later on to please clarify for us if this is happening, because there are issues being raised that are saying this is not what the Senate debated upon. But we are waiting for the Nigerian Senate to come out and defend themselves. This same thing happened in 1986. They said, no, 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 we are not members of OIC. It turned out that we are actually full paid members of Organization of Islamic Countries. They cannot fool us again. They must come out and publish the entire transcript of their deliberation to convince us that they did not change the law, as everybody is widely reporting. We are also looking at the issue of the ongoing mayhem and clash between Igbo youths, AIYO, and MASOB in and around Anambra State, ostensibly in Onitsha area. We'll be asking ourselves when, how, what can we do to bring this to an end. These are the headlines that we are bringing. Before we begin to take your calls, you know the protocol. Please give us some time to be able to analyze this news. We will tell you when to start calling us. Once again, please get a pen and a piece of paper. As people have always said all the time, Radio Biafra is like attending history, economic, social, and political class at the same time. Please get your pen and piece of paper and take down this number. This is the number with which you can get hold of us today with, please. It is +44 75 is a temporary number, please, just for today. +44 75 817 12 444. I repeat, +44 75 817 12 444. Please, if I can start with the, I don't know if the barristers will, no, let's start with the ladies. Amachi is here, and our dear sister Adam. Please tell us, I don't know how to start. How do you view this from a lady's perspective? This idea that you can marry anybody, even the one in the stomach. Once you do scanning and we determine that the sex is female, you can book that child for future marriage. Go ahead.
Thank you for your question. Personally, I see it as an abomination to start with. I don't know what a child of that age will know. I don't know what she will know about marriage. People that are old enough are even finding it difficult to, yeah, yes, you know, to handle challenges, you know, that, you know, come with marriage. And a child of 6 years, if it's 6 years against 6 years, then it's just, you know, it's a child.
It's child's play. It's called child's play. It becomes child's play.
But no, the age difference of 50, 60s, I mean, no, great grandfather marrying their great grandchildren. It's an abomination. It's unheard of. I wouldn't have any problem if it's limited to the north. If it's just amongst them that they are doing all those dirty things, then it's up to them. It's their life and it's their religion, and they can deal with it.
Yes.
But my problem will be when it comes down to the east, to the Biafra land. But then the question will be, who will be that stupid enough to give, who amongst the Biafrans, the Igbo, or so to say, that would be that stupid as a parent to give their child of 6 years, or even a month, even unborn.
They'll do so.
You know, to be married off. Yeah. What have you taught the child?
Mm.
You know, what knowledge have you actually transferred to the child to be able to handle issues that, you know, that will come with whatever commitment she's going to be facing? I don't know. So I just hope it's limited to the north, if I'm right.
I hope so too. But you know how they carry a child. You know when you go to the village, those, yeah, of us that grew up in the, how you carry a child,
yeah,
to your left. How to carry a child? You carry a baby.
Yeah.
So maybe when he's going to a function, he'll be carrying a 9-year-old like that and going. It's terrible. Let's ask our sister, please, Adam. What do you make of this law that a child as young as 6, even 1 year old, is now legally, you can marry them in the north? Yes? Okay, it's too difficult for you to even contemplate.
Yes.
Yeah, she's too emotional. She's too emotional. We'll go to the barristers last to ask them the implications in law of what this thing means. Please, Dr. Egemba, what do you make of it?
In fact, you know, there are some issues you are asked to comment on. You don't even know how to start. You don't know how to start to talk about it. It is even shameful that a whole national assembly, a whole national lawmaking body will stoop so low and legalize illegality all over the world. Now, I understand that 35 senators voted for this law.
Yes.
And out of that 35, 33 of them are from the north.
Yes.
Only two. One person from Ondo and one person from Edo Central.
That's
these
correct.
Two senators, they voted for this law.
Yeah.
Ondo people, Edo people, can you imagine your senator being a child rapist? Yeah, in fact, what you are saying, I don't want to use the word underage marriage. You are glorifying, you are trying to spin it. Call it underage raping, child molestation, pedophilia. How can a national government legitimize such abhorrent crime that you don't even it is even very painful in the ear to hear about it? Talk less of this man standing boldly enough in the National Assembly of the zoo. Even in the animal kingdom, there are certain things you cannot discuss within the animal kingdom. That Nigeria has stooped so low that the National Assembly, grown-up men, can stand up and use their mouth to support, to argue, to debate a law that will legalize child raping, raping a child. What does a child, whether you call it 12 years, 11 years, or 1 year or 2 years, what does it a child know? The person who initiated this law should be fully ashamed of himself to the point of even being bold enough to come out and be stupid enough trying to justify his illegal action, shameful action, illegitimate action. If I have my way, I will alert the whole world to make to ban all Nigerian senators, whether you voted for it or not, to ban all Nigerian senators from traveling outside Nigeria, to regard them as child rapists. As far as I'm concerned, if you are a Nigerian senator, you are a rapist. You are a child molester. You are a pedophile and must be banned from even 100 years from any child, any human being, in short. They're supposed to be, what we call...
Ostracized, yes.
Ostracized. Yes. They're not supposed to be human. Yes. They are idiots, in short. Let me... it's not right here to start to cause, but I am so annoyed and enraged that senators can stoop this low. In fact, I leave this for the Nigerian public to vet their anger on this. None of these senators, serving senators, deserve to be re-elected, deserve to serve in any public office ever. But Nigeria being what it is, bribery, money, everything, they can. Some of these senators who voted for this will turn out to be a state governor or even there to be president or vice president in the near future. Mm. If Peter Vai, a sex offender, is unheard of.
They will go out to nursery schools and start picking them from the nursery. You wait in front of the gate of the nursery school. If this is what you said, you see that one there. I like her toy. I want her. You take her toy. Terrible. Please, go ahead.
Fellow dear friends, what I have to say is that what is happening in Nigeria is not surprising. The fact that people are, the people in the House of the Senators didn't have anything more tangible to do other than to start debating or voting on a law that is rather outdated. I know that patriotism is an ancient African act that passes with age and time, and is not what we should be condoning. But seeing what is going on in the around the world now, where gay men are marrying men and women are marrying women, and a man could now take a cow to a church or to a registrar and they get wedded and they will call man and wife. And the people are condoning it, and the governments are sanctioning it. There's something seriously going wrong around the world, and in Nigeria, it's not what we should be supporting the action of Dan Dewudu, where a man will be sleeping. You know, it's that kind of thing that sometimes I wonder what those people are being paid for to do in there, what kind of law. I think they have nothing to do anymore. Nothing tangible enough to do, that they should be disbanded actually, because they're not doing enough to be paid to be called even senators. They should be making laws that should make the society better, not making it worse.
Maybe before Uche comes in, maybe you know they say, you know, this hairdo that women do, weave on, is expensive now. You know that they have Brazilian hair, they have one from Togo, they have one from Venezuela, they have one from India, they have one from all these places. Maybe to buy a toy is cheaper than to take care of a woman. Maybe it could be on the grounds of cost. Taking care of a child of 2 years old, your wife who is 2 years old, is cheaper. It's a lot more cheaper, though you are buying a lot of milk and feeding bottle. Apart from that, there's nothing else. Please, Uche. Or you don't, I think you were reporting a while ago that this news may not be entirely correct. Is that your feeling from the research you've been doing?
Yes, I'm not necessarily doing research, but I find it personally difficult to believe that this kind of thing happens.
For instance,
I recommend that we do more research on this to get the actual facts.
Yes.
What section of Nigerian constitution was concerned? What actually did the senators voted for? A while ago, the Tegemba said 35 senators
voted. That is
voted.
Correct. Yeah.
I understand that there are about 109 senators in Nigeria.
Yes.
So where were the remaining ones?
They could have abstained. Abstention. Yes. If you abstain and the majority votes, the majority will carry the vote.
No, but when the remaining number of senators wouldn't have as abstained, all of them, they would have voted against it. So what I'm trying to say, in essence, is that, for all it has been, there are no reports on major Nigerian newspapers about this. Can it be a conspiracy? Where they mentioned senators of Northern Nigeria extraction. There are no senators from the East. There are no senators for only about two senators from the West.
One from Ondo and Edo State.
And then the Middle Belt. So where were the other senators in other bills that were passed in Nigerian Senate or in the Houses of Assembly and Senate? It has always been a full house. So were these people chased away?
No.
And
they
are all absent for what?
Yeah, on the grounds of conscience. It could be conscience.
On the grounds of conscience.
Yes, and you don't want to upset your house masters that put you there. So rather than voting against you.
This is animalistic.
They are complicit in this.
It is animalistic. But I recommend that we do more research on this. Let us get actually what.
But Uche, what stops the Nigerian Senate from saying that this particular. After all, when my oga at the top went viral, the same way you said. They come out to say something about it. My God, at the top. So why is something so damaging to the image of the country happening and they're keeping quiet? The same thing happened with OIC. I have said this thing before.
The question I'm also asking is, why is it that no major newspapers reported it? Were they bribed or something? I mean,
I
have more questions than
answers. Okay.
So
okay.
I wouldn't want to.
But please, keep your daughters very close when you travel home. It's important. Barrister Mamezu, please.
To be honest, Director, I thought that maybe Barrister Mecca Emeka Siri would have taken the lead before I could make my own assertion. Because while you were talking, he's actually busy
scribbling. Yes, he will conclude for us.
To be honest, Director, you know, I've been on this program for quite a long time. I'm condemning this. You guys are calling it raping. It is pedophilia.
Yes.
Rape is a different story under criminal law. And you know that this is a crime. To have an underage sex, talking of marriage, is a sin, it's an atrocity, it's an abomination. I don't know which other language you want me to use. Director, it's condemned. And of course, just like Dan Marachi, of course, a learned woman who will always get there before us, says if the houses are doing this on their own, and of course, remember, the Muslims, this is their Sharia law, we don't care. And for all I advocate, the Muslims should always keep their own law. I will not speak against it. And of course, Director, I know sometimes when I say this, you don't like it. They say that when they mention Allah, they say glory be upon His name. Mm-hmm. For all the sake of Allah, glory be upon His name. If the Muslims are using their own law in their Sharia law, let it be for them, but let it not affect the Biafrans.
Yes.
For we are two different individuals.
Yes.
For we are two different people.
Yes.
For we do not have the same aspiration. We don't have the same culture, nor do we have the same religion. So if it is possible to decree for a freeborn old child to be married, of course, even those in the prime, when you push a pram up and down, fine, we have no problem. As far as it doesn't affect the Biafrans, we don't have the same project.
We are not the same people.
At all.
Let's take this call then before Barrister comes to conclude for us. The other barrister, that is. Go on, welcome to HMB in London. This is Radio Biafra. Please give us your name and where you're calling from. We are transmitting from our headquarters here in London, in England. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Nandi. Welcome back from America. Welcome back to England.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
Yes. Now I'm in holiday in Egypt. My name is Ebere Azubike.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to speak with a lot of my friends here in Egypt concerning child marriage abuse and all these things. From all the information I have gathered all around, they told here in Egypt it's never been in their constitution and it's never ever be allowed for a child of 9 years old to be legalized or to be married. But such atrocity here is not in Egypt. I think this is not in all Arab world. According to my friend, he told me that a girl who is 16 or 17 years old here in Egypt is not enough to hold ID card, let alone having passports. She must be 17 years to have ID, 18 years to have passport before she could be able to travel anywhere. That he don't know how this story came so bad. I told him I was not from my country, Yarima. He married the Egyptian girl 9 years old. He told me it's never ever. I don't know if he's trying to protect himself from Egypt. I don't know how he comes around this kind of stupidity.
So Yarima must have kidnapped the girl now.
Maybe somebody he pays money and they bring to him in Nigeria and he tried to legalize so that he can say that in Nigeria it's official, it's normal. I don't know how he manipulates everything. But yes. Sorry, here in Egypt is not in the Islamic law. They are Muslim people and they are not like Muslims. If you came here in Egypt, you will find they are living together with Christian people in peace and harmony. And they are not, I don't see any Boko Haram, I don't see any tourism center. The whole world came here for holiday in Ogada.
Yeah,
and I tried to seek information. I don't...
But can you ask him what happened to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon his soul? They had married a six-year-old child. Aisha was given to him when Aisha was six.
You know, according to him, he told me they have two different type of Muslim worshippers. Some believe in, I don't know, whatever. Some believe in, I think, I don't know if Egypt believe in another different Muslim, something like this. I don't know the names of their belief. They told me there is people who believe in Ari. There is people who believe in Muhammad. One is violence and one is non-violence. So actually, he's not here. If he's here, I would have asked him more and more.
Ask him about Aisha, Prophet Muhammad and Aisha, the six-year-old that was given to him. I think the marriage was consummated when Aisha was 13. And then I think the Prophet was in his 90s. I'm not too sure. But try and find out. We are here.
I will try to find out. And honestly, I will write you. Because he told me in their law, it's impossible that a girl of 16 years old don't even have an ID card, let alone thinking of married. Or their education is free.
Okay.
He told me it's impossible.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your call. Thank you very much. Thank you for that. Please, Barrister Emeka Adolf Emekesiri, can you bring some perspective into this whole discussion and debate, please?
Yeah, thank you, Director. In civilized countries, civilized nations of the world, there is age of consent, age of making contract, age of agreeing. And this thing we are hearing now, maybe we read in history in the ancient times, where children could be married away in the prehistoric times, the ancient times, when they were living in darkness. But in the modern world, where we expect that Nigeria, having been brought up by the Great Britain. I believe that Nigeria should actually be learning from their master. It is a horrible thing. It's unheard of that an underage child and shall be married away. The fact is that in law, any consent given by a child is invalid because that child doesn't know what he is doing.
But at what age is the internationally acceptable age?
It is 18 years.
Internationally recognized?
It is 18 years.
Okay, go ahead.
There could be, under customary law, like somebody said, that Islamic law, Sharia law. Sharia law, yeah, they allow themselves to be married below the age of consent.
Yes.
That is Sharia law.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Somebody has said, if they want to practice Sharia law and give out their children below the age of consent, we have no problem with that. That should be under Sharia law. It has nothing to do with the Senate. It should not come to the Senate. It should not be a statute, a law passed by the Senate. No. If you practice it under Sharia law, we are not quarreling with you. We too have right to practice our customary law the way we want. And you are not questioning us. It is domestic law, a kind of private family law. Good. But when you are bringing it to the Senate, you want to make it a statute law binding upon the whole country. It is evil. We cannot accept that. Let us believe that it's a rumor. It has not been passed. But if it has been passed, we will shoot it down. We go to court and shoot it down. The judiciary has power to shoot it down.
Do they have that power?
Oh, yes, we have power to shoot it down. We have power to shoot it down. Any law that is made, we have power to shoot it down. But I want to see human rights activists, powerful, fearless lawyers that will challenge it and shoot it down.
Maybe if they challenge it, they give them a child each. and they abandon
the fact
it.
Is that any law you make that violates they want to put it in the constitution.
Yes.
They will not succeed. Well, I believe they will not succeed if we have good lawyers that can fight against it.
Yes.
However, there's something to it. What, first of all, why could, assuming they passed that law, why were they able to pass it? They said 35 senators, 33 from the north, one from Ondo State and one from Edo State. Now, 33 senators from the north.
They're all Muslims,
yes. It means that from the way the Nigerian politics is structured, the north will always have its way. We know that Nigeria is an Islamic country. Yes, I say it. Nigeria is an Islamic country. It was registered as a member of the Organization of Islamic Countries.
Yes.
In 1986, it was registered fully. Nigeria is number 7 in the list of Islamic countries of the world. So Nigeria is an Islamic country. We know that. So,
But Barrister, you remember when this story broke? They denied it initially. When people were reporting that Nigeria is an Islamic country, they said, no, it's a lie. It's not true.
Nigeria is an Islamic country. Number 7 in the list of Islamic countries of the world. Nigeria is number 7.
Yes.
So what we are saying is this. Fine. As they have made Nigeria an Islamic country, we are not protected under Islamic law, and we don't want to be under Islamic law either. Nigeria has been structured in the way that Muslims will have upper hand and decide what will happen. Because of that, any policy, any law, any bill the Muslims bring to the National Assembly will likely succeed because they have more seats in the Senate. They have more seats in the Senate that can pass the law. So anything they want to pass, they can pass it. And in fact, let them continue to pass those laws because Nigeria is Islamic. Sure. Since they have all the senators, they have the higher number of seats, even when the East and West combine, their votes will still override. So let them continue passing all those laws and let it be clear that we are not part of them.
So what you're saying is that they can use their rather inbuilt or fraudulently acquired superior number to change the constitution of the country.
That's what they are doing now. That's what is about to happen. And that is the signal that Nigeria will disintegrate because we cannot be under Islamic law. land use decree is from Islamic law.
Is it?
Yes. It was copied from Nigerian from the Islamic law, from the Northern law.
Is it? I didn't know that.
It was copied from the Northern region, law of Northern region.
Then our listeners are enjoying today because this tells them that why Radio Biafra is different, because here you hear things that nobody. Do you think will AIT tell you, give you this type of information? Never. Only at Radio Biafra. Let's go and take this call. We have a caller on Skype. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are.
Hello, Director. I'm the Colonel. My name is Ikechi Kwenyago. I'm calling from Malaysia.
You are calling from Malaysia. Please go ahead. The whole world is listening. This is Radio Biafra from London. Go ahead.
Oh, I must say, I am glad to hear that you're back safely in the UK and up and running. I thank you very much for your resilience and your commitment.
Thank you.
I thank the whole Radio Biafra editorial board there with you.
Thank you
very much. I want to just chip in one or two things concerning the what is going on in Nigeria now with the Senate. I want to say that apart from the fact that we all know it's a common knowledge that there is a clause in Islamic religion that allows for early marriages for women. Even in some parts of Europe, you have them as low as 15 years. In Denmark, in Estonia, in Georgia, and in Lithuania, and some of them, you have them as low as 15 years. But once we are dealing with Africa, we do not just reason as the people of the world, but we reason as Africans. And the problem, the challenges we are having in Nigeria today is because although our politicians and leaders want to emulate the Western world, they want to emulate the Western world in showcasing themselves, in showing off themselves. But when it comes to Nigeria and the things that concern Nigeria, they do not want to apply the same argument in dealing with Nigeria. For instance, they are the giant of Africa. But when they want to show the world that they are the giant of Africa, but when they come to Africa, they do not want to bring out what makes Africa a giant or what makes Nigeria a giant in Africa. Coming down to the child molestation law that they've just passed, you understand that another angle from this thing is could be more spiritual than we are looking at. We already know that Nigeria is shifted to be always dominated by the Muslim North. But then let's look at it from this way. You know that all senators, not just all senators, all politicians that we've ever had in Nigeria till today, 98% of them have dabbled in one ritual or the other to get themselves involved or elected or relevant in politics. For instance, it's happened in our places in the Igbo area and so many other places where big governors would go to shrine and strip themselves naked. Senators, even in Yoruba land, would go there and strip themselves naked and take oaths. So they operate, they run the country under negative spiritual forces. But when they want to come to their position, they do not want to take what they have taken from that grassroots to the level that it will benefit everybody in Nigeria. If they think it is possible, it is good, it's right for them to swear an oath before they take office among themselves, they should also understand that it's very important for them, if they are taking national positions, they should swear an oath to the whole nation that if they embezzle money, if they do anything that is wrong, contrary to their positions, they would also die as they swore secretly. But they're not doing it. And that is the problem we have today. The law that they have passed concerning the children could actually be because their annual or monthly or quarterly ritual sacrifice is at stake. Remember, of recent uncovering so many child markets in Igbo, in Igbo land, where they say they manufacture children, babies, and they sell them, and we don't know who they are selling them to. Most of the buyers and the people that patronize them are actually the politicians. And what do they do with these children? They use them mostly for rituals. So, but now that their market, their big market in Igbo land are now blown open, and they must sacrifice. You cannot tell a spirit. It's what the Bible says. If you make a vow, we must fulfill it. Otherwise, why would you invite the angel of God to destroy the works of your hand? Why would you be giving God excuse? So when they have made a commitment to all these spirits of maybe quarterly, monthly, or yearly sacrifices of children, teenage girls, underage virgins, and their market is now at stake, they will have to devise another means to get their work going so that they will not die in the process. So probably with the law that has gone on now, if you see a senator with a little girl, you will consider maybe he has acquired a new bride. They will just pick them on the road, maybe go to an ice cream joint, buy them ice cream and hypnotize them, and then take them straight to their shrine and kill them. The people of the world listening to me would say, what is going on here? They think it's strange. It's actually happening in our land. It's actually happening. That is what is happening. They are taking their position and looking at the world. The world is looking at them as people that are knowledgeable, people that have come of age, people that have understood what is going on in the world. But we that are looking at them from the inside, we know what they are doing. They are using African, what do you call it, African magic to keep themselves relevant and not actually to run the state. So I advise our parents out there to also not just be looking out for them, for such shameless senators coming or people coming to take their children as wives, as wives, but they should also be watching their children. Because of kidnap, because the way I see it, if guys not taking, more kidnap will be coming on, because there are no longer big markets for little girls for them, for their sacrifice. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling. It was a very detailed call. We are very grateful for it. This is Radio Biafra. If you're joining us, if you've been directed to come to us, and this is your very first time, we are welcoming you. This is our live transmission from London. We've been in the US now and Canada for the past 4 weeks or so, but we are here where we are headquartered. People keep asking all the time, when are you going back to Biafraland to broadcast from Biafraland? They also keep forgetting that stations like Radio Carolina, which is the Cuban revolutionary radio station, is being run from outside Cuba. But we are going home. In a very short while, we'll be returning back to Biafra, where we belong, to be able to broadcast the world from there. We are the studios of Radio Biafra, and the whole place is packed. We have our two barristers are here, one guiding us back home and one guiding us in London. That is where we cannot go wrong. We cannot break the law. We are not even allowed to break the law ourselves. Talk less of Nigeria. This is Radio Biafra, the caller on Skype. Give us your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are. Can you hear me? The caller on Skype, can you hear me?
Hello. Yeah, Maze.
Yes, and there we'll give
you. Yeah, Maze, can you hear me?
Yeah, very well. Please, loud and clear. So is the whole world. Please, go ahead.
Yeah, welcome back to London.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's not easy, my brother.
That is correct.
Yeah, I want to thank you once again. At least you have responding back to those morons on Facebook that try to demoralize your actions and try to talk down on you. It's good as you have now left there for them. When you go on Facebook, you drop your information and you go your way. That is the most important thing.
Yes.
I just woke up. I'm calling from Malaysia. I just want to chip in something concerning the child age, underage child marriage and what have you. You know, when we tell our friends, relatives, and those so-called educated people we have in our midst that just being selfish based on what they can have from Nigerian side, that their mind have been subjected to stupid and they don't want to care about what is going on. Maybe they're having good jobs or their life is okay with their little family. They don't know that when you have money and you don't have an environment to secure your life, your money seems to be useless, because money is meant for one to obtain a good living and a better life.
Yeah.
You see, the Northerners have been trying to subject Nigeria to their leadership, to their rule. They want to Islamize Nigeria. It's the handwriting is written. They keep on pressing from the bound north, Maiduguri, to Imo State, where I come from. So we don't care about now this time around. It was the Yorubas that made them what they are today. They gave them all the right because they are cowards, I keep saying, and they have decided to be keeping silent, thinking that they are doing the Igbos. You see, it's becoming a shameful thing. And I told you last time that colonization was a business. Britain don't want to talk now because they are trying to pay attention to their boys. Is this a Nigerian situation? And the northern part of the northerners are just like, and Britain is like boy to master. So no matter what a boy do, the master will not like to complain much because they are them, you know. See, they want to Islamize Nigeria, and this is just like one of the barristers have said. This law they are trying to bring in, that Yerima of Emoy, when you look at him, you know that he's an illiterate. You see, when education is given or opportunity are being given to an idiot, what do you expect? He's trying to defend himself, saying that Islamic law is, knowing that Nigeria is just an accepted member of Islamic nation. It's not absolutely that Nigeria is an Islamic country. It was their money that lobbied for it. Nigeria is not an Islamic nation because they don't have the number of people that made it up. But due to Abacha and the money they have, they lobbied it up. It's recognized. Google it. Nigeria is recognized, not an Islamic nation. That's what they call Islam. That's how when Soludo came in with the help of Obasanjo, he ended up slashing all the Islamic signs you see in our currency. You don't see them no more.
It's not there anymore. I have not taken any notice. It's no longer there.
You can go and check.
So all those Islamic signs on Naira is not there anymore.
Yeah, it's no longer there.
Okay. That's very good. And thank you for calling. But I'm still talking.
So what I'm trying to say is this: our people, the handwriting is written all over the world, and they don't want to see it. There is nothing like one Nigeria. So many things have happened. Our people don't want to hear. I don't know what is their problem. When you tell them, they keep arguing. When you tell them that this is what we need our Biafra. We are not there to tell an Hausa man how to live his life. An Hausa man should not bring his culture to us. This thing they are trying to pass to the whole Nigeria is their culture in the Islamic religion. It does not have anything to do with Christianity, neither an Igbo culture where we come from. So how do they think that they can bring an 8 years that is still sucking breast to come and marry?
It's terrible.
Giving it out to marry. It's their culture. They should continue. And they should leave their culture for themselves. They have been using this as a Sharia law for a very long time. Nobody is kicking against it, just like the lawyer there with yes, us have said.
If you stay where you are, we want to explore this further. What I'm going to ask Barrister Emeka is, where are we on the court case? People are asking, can you hear me? What is happening to our court case? What is the latest they want to hear from the horse's mouth? I don't think maybe they believe me anymore on the court case. Maybe they need to hear from you.
Okay. The last thing is that we made the amendment that was required, and then brought the case back to the court on this 1st of July, 2013. That is after the hearing on the 25th of June, and then it was struck out, and we now had to amend that particular portion, putting that incorporated trustees of Bile Human Rights Initiative, and that was done. The whole thing was properly done and then brought back to the court on the 1st of July 2013. That's about 5 days later. Good. And the court will now give us a date for hearing. So as soon as the date is fixed for hearing, every person will be informed. So we are still in court. This is July. Well, we are entering about August. This is July, August. You can't have any hearing until maybe about September, October, because we call it legal year. It will end and there will be vacation.
Okay. Also, that's a legal calendar.
Yeah, yeah. It will be vacation. So, we're expecting any date from September or October, because there can't be any date in August. It's not possible. So, but as soon as the date is given, every person will be informed.
It is good that Barrister gave this clarification, more special about the judicial calendar.
Yeah.
Because many of our people all over the world, they are very, very anxious. In fact, today I received a call from our people meeting in Port Harcourt about this issue, asking what happened, that, you know, that is struck off or setting aside. People are still very confused about it. Some are going about saying, oh, your case has been thrown away. You know how people interpret this. So we have our barrister now who has the case is still on. It's just a minor correction or amendment that has been made. And the case is back, fired back again. It is in the court now. And we are waiting for a court date. And because of this period, that many parts of the world, this is during summer, everything is more or less shutting down or skeletal.
Do they have summer back home? Is
right.
There sunshine all the time?
No, okay. What I'm talking about in terms of legal year, he's talking about.
Okay, so the calendar.
The calendar. So people should exercise patience. As long as soon as the court resumes, they will give us date, and the whole world, the Biafran activists and the whole world will know the date, and we will communicate it.
Now, the Biafran struggle is not only on the case.
Yes.
Even as the legal team is doing the case work, the Biafran should also be doing other things, not just the case work. Do you go to court with me? Are you the lawyer? Allow the lawyers to continue doing their work while the Biafrans continue doing their own other things.
Because there's so much work.
There are so much to be done. So much the organization and the structural, the building of the structure of Biafran movement.
Yes.
That's what we're talking. Not just talking about the court. Yes, allow the lawyers. We're in court. We know the game to play in court. We and the lawyers on the other side, we know all the tricks and all the delay tactics. Yes, that is our game. We know how to play it. So what is incorporated trustees of? Incorporated trustees of, that's all. Is that the case? The main issue, the main dispute,
the substance
of the case. We are just dancing around it and talking about incorporated trustee of Billy Human, incorporated trustee of. That is game plan the lawyers play. Don't worry yourself about our delay tactics. Sometimes even a lawyer like me can even play a trick.
To do something. Okay.
So you don't even know our game. So don't worry yourself about the games we play.
Okay. In other words, you are telling us that we should continue whatever action we are doing towards getting restoring Biafra. The legal case should be left for the lawyer.
Yes, we know the game to play.
Wherever you are, if you are a BLA member, continue to organize where you are, attend the meetings, do what you need to do wherever you are all over the world. That's what it is. So while the legal case is going, Radio Biafra is doing what they are doing. Believe me,
the organization should be doing what they are doing.
Attend the meeting, be active in whatever you are doing. Inform people about what Radio Biafra is doing. The Facebook page, introduce people or people to the Facebook page. Any action you think that will help to restore Biafra, keep on doing it. Don't wait on the legal front. It is just one of the ammunition we have in our disposal to restore Biafra. It is not the only one. So let us not think that legal means is the only way forward.
Yes.
That's what I want to add.
Thank you very much. Let's go back to our brother before we bring his call to a conclusion and then go on to take other calls as well. My brother, are you still there? The caller on Skype?
Yes, I'm here, Mr. Nakanomeba. So yes, what I'm saying is this.
Please, round of course, we have Ezen Joko and OG waiting to speak to us as well. Please go ahead.
So let me just round up. So what I'm trying to say is this. The earlier the better, all of us, all the Igbos, all the Biafran people, anybody that have the spirit of Biafra in his or her mind should know that it is the high time we all give our support to Biafra. So and another thing is, let me put support to what the attorneys have said. everybody should stay clear from the law situation, whatever we're having in the court. We have lawyers there that are handling it. People should stop disturbing. They will give us update as soon as it's necessary. You know what I'm saying? So God bless you. Welcome back to UK.
Thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. It's a good thing. The trip was quite... You know that some parts of America is very, very hot. It's even hotter than home. Home by me, which I mean Biafra land. Not here, because we are only sojourning in the UK. If you've been calling us, please, if you've been looking for the number to call, please, the number is +44 758 171 2444. We'll revert back to Radio Biafra studio number from tomorrow. For some reason, we couldn't get it. I don't know, maybe something was damaged somewhere. But we'll try and get it functioning very well tomorrow. If you're joining us, that we are welcoming you. This is a live transmission of Radio Biafra coming from our studios here in London. We have exhausted, or we have finished, our tour of the United States and Canada. Very shortly, we'll be setting out to some other countries as well, but we shall let you know in due course. Please, that this is your radio station, your platform to speak your mind and project the voice of Biafra to the ends of the earth. This is the only thing that we own together as a people. We don't have Nkalago Cement Factory anymore. We don't have ceramics at Omuahia. We don't have Olona. We don't have oil mill in Port Harcourt. We don't even have Oji River, not even the coal. Nothing seems to be working. We don't own anything in common apart from Radio Biafra. Our transmitter continues to be an issue of which we are determined, of which we are in every way humanly possible determined and focused to acquire as soon as possible, so that this message can be relayed to those at home as well that need it even more than we do. So please, we are welcoming you. Any help you can render in that direction is more than welcome, because it is a public financed initiative. It is not personal. We cannot be beholden to politicians. We cannot be beholden to any interest that will make us to dilute our brand of journalism, our brand of broadcasting, which is unique. We explain the news to people so they understand it. Which I understand you've been doing a lot of research. Has anything come up on this child abuse legislation? Has there been any clarification or denials from any quarters? What is going on? We want to know, please.
Well, on a personal, it's not about research, but what I'm concerned about is the content of the section of the 1999 Constitution.
Yes.
Which section is that?
That was, it is section 29.4. C, 4C of the 1999 Constitution. Yeah. Now, what that section is saying is that it's talking about...
read it out for us.
It's talking about...
do you have that section available so you can read it so we understand? What does that section say? Section of this baby kidnapping section, what does it say? This section that deals with molesting children, that deals with raping kids... Child rape, what does it say? That contrary, sometimes it makes you wonder.
Let's see whether you have found it.
If you find it, then you let us know.
I can paraphrase it at the moment.
Go ahead, go ahead. Just give us a paraphrase. Let us know what this law is about.
Just talking about the age of
consent. Consent, yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Talking about the right of
an underaged
or a married woman,
yes,
to renounce her citizenship, which has nothing to do with age of marriage.
You mean renouncing citizenship?
Yes, but I need to get, just go on, I need to get the right.
Yes, we have it. I don't know if
the contention here that it's nothing to do with age of marriage. No, they're saying the contention is by implication that if such law is allowed, they're saying that every underage girl that got married is deemed to be of age,
yeah,
of 18.
Yes, but if
so
you,
but it has nothing to do with passage of legalizing underage marriage.
Okay, but Uche, is by implication. If you remove
age of consent of 18.
Exactly. If you remove, there's something is called in law. I don't quite know. If you remove the it's like a defense against something in law. If you remove the guard protecting something, if you lift it, that is free for all.
Yes, free for all. That's it. So, which means if the age of consent has been removed from 18 to nothing, that's what
Uche is trying to say is talking a different about citizenship.
That's not the issue here. What is enraging everybody is that the Senate amended given section of the Constitution removing the age of consent from 18 to anything at all.
That's what we had. But we need to see the document.
Just go on and
if any of our listeners knows better, please call in and
We need to see this.
We ask Chidera to please go back to the news. I think it was that of yesterday. Also, or was it 2 days ago, to give us the particular aspect of the Constitution that we are referring to, where these disgraceful people, calling themselves senators, brought shame upon themselves, their names and their families, and not to the people who were unfortunate enough to be tagged Nigerians. Those who are unfortunate enough to be tagged Nigerians, we are also reporting, according to our news today, that some people are saying that religion cannot divide the North, because there's a sizable number of Christians in the North. Nobody have actually said what is going to happen to them. Once we have once Boko Haram ascends to the throne in the North, and we have Biafra, is it going to be our duty to assimilate them, to absorb them, not as a territory, but as individuals when they come running? Because the same thing happened to the Huguenots in France when they drove them out, when the Catholic sentiment drove them out, and they ran to England.
And the Waldensians.
Yes, they ran to England. So is something going to happen? So do we envisage one day the family of Gowon coming? Because they'll be driven out. The Islamic people, expansionism is in their system. They will expand Islam by force. So they'll go and take over the village of Gowon, for instance. Is it then beholden upon us as a people, as a caring people, to then accept these people as part of us sometime in the future? Is that possible?
Well, already we have defined Biafra territory, or Biafra people. We have defined where they occupy. We placed in court the documents of the ancient map of Africa in 1662. The public document. Is the ancient map of Africa. It's public document. You can get it in British Library, in the Library of Congress. You can get the ancient map of Africa. In 1662, there were three prominent kingdoms in West Africa. In the North, there was the Kingdom of Zamfara.
Was there?
Yes, in 1662. In the North, the Kingdom of Zamfara. In the East, the Kingdom of Biafra. In the West, the Kingdom of Benin. These were the three kingdoms from where Nigeria was carved out.
There was no Oduduwa kingdom.
No.
It's Benin?
No, it's Benin. In fact, it's there in record. It is the ancient map of Africa, 1662. The Kingdom of Zamfara in the North, the Kingdom of Biafra in the East, and the Kingdom of Benin in the West. The Kingdom of Benin was an extensive kingdom going down even up to the present day. Is it go back, it is there on record. It's there in the kingdom, in the ancient map of Africa. These are the three kingdoms from where the region was carved out around the Niger, around the river Niger, called Niger area. That is Nigeria. These are the three kingdoms. So every person in this particular country called Nigeria must trace his route to any of these three kingdoms, either Kingdom of Zamfara, Kingdom of Biafra, or Kingdom of Benin. I am talking authoritatively because the map is there. It is the ancient map of Africa. You can get it in the British Library or Library of Congress, any of the international libraries in the world.
Okay.
Is there. So what we are saying is this, that the Biafra eventually people from part of Middle Belt were carved. People of part of Middle Belt belong to that ancient map of Biafra. People from part of Cameroon, part of Gabon, part of Equatorial Guinea.
That is correct. Yeah.
Some of those things are still that ancient Biafra land. But when the Europeans created this Nigeria and carved out. They carved us who
the
are
scramble for
yeah,
Africa.
Yeah, they scramble for Africa 1884 to 1885. Mm-hmm. Now those of us now who we are put in Nigeria, we are these Easterners, this Eastern region. We are put in Nigeria. We are part of us. We are put in Cameroon. Part of us. We are put in Gabon. Part of us. We are put in so on. So that is how it is. So what we are saying is that it is possible. Already we have said that Biafrans occupy part of Middle Belt, then the Eastern region, and then part of South South. How we define our people, where we live. Biafrans are living in part of Middle Belt, they then part of South South, and the whole of the Southeast. So that's what we say. Why do we say part of South South? Because Benin now is in South South. Benin is capital of Edo State. But from ancient map of Africa, Benin has never been part of Biafra.
Never.
Rather, Benin was its own
kingdom,
and Biafra was its own kingdom, and they were sharing a border. And the both of them had the sea at the southern border. And that's why the sea, the bay, which is called Bight.
Yeah.
Bight of Benin and Bight of Biafra. The word Bight is the ancient word for bay.
Okay.
Ancient English word for bay, like Bay Beach and Bay. So Bay of Biafra and Bay of Benin. The two kingdoms were staying side by side. Benin had never been part of Biafra. So, but today, part of Biafra is in South South. For instance, the Igbos of South South.
In the Delta State.
In the Delta State. Even Akwa Ibom, these are all Biafrans.
Yes.
Akwa Ibom, some of Rivers State, they're all Biafra in the ancient map of Biafra.
Yes.
I'm not talking about 1967 Biafra. I'm talking about Biafra of 15th century, 13th century. In fact, the first map of Biafra was in 1492 AD. 1492.
Yeah.
From 1492, 1660, 1662, 1707. You see the ancient map of Africa, seeing Biafra there. Biafra as a country. I'm not talking about Bight of Biafra. So, we shall go back to the root. And fortunately, these maps are still in the library, in British Library, Library of Congress, and many, many powerful libraries of the world. They're all there.
But why is there this push? Why do we have this concerted effort to demonize? What I want to understand is that why demonize the word Biafra? How come we allowed it to be demonized to the extent whereby people are afraid to answer to that name? That is something I can't get my head around. Why did our people, why did the intelligentsia, the people that went before us, why did they allow that criminalization of the name to continue? Why did they allow that to continue? Why did that happen?
Well, I'm thinking that it was the effect of the war. You see, it is the effect of the war. The war brought fear. The war brought fear or put fear in many people.
Yes.
After the war, Nigerian government made every effort to kill the memory of Biafra. And any person who introduced himself as a Biafran will be harassed, molested, or killed. Until recent times, when we now decided to educate people regarding the difference between nationality and indigenous identity of a person, and then we now argued it before Nigerian lawyers, before the public. Yes, Biafrans were not annihilated like Rome annihilated Carthage. Today, there are no indigenous people of Carthage because Rome annihilated Carthage and poured salt on the soil of Carthage to make sure that no crop, no tree, nothing will grow from Carthage again. And there's no more Carthaginians now. But in the case of Biafra, Biafra was not annihilated. Rather, what Biafra lost was its sovereignty. The sovereignty, ability to rule yourself, to govern yourself. We lost our sovereignty, but we didn't lose our people. Good. So, we are now forced to become Nigerians. And we are Nigerians by nationality. But we still maintain our indigenous identity as a people. We have a root, from where we came up. So, because they didn't understand the difference between nationality and indigenous identity, they were afraid to mention the word Biafra, that they were Biafrans. In fact, the time we went in to fight this suit and said we are Biafrans, people were afraid. They said, oh, you are asking, you'll be killed. Why should you kill me for answering the name of my ancestors?
Barrister, if I can come in here.
Yes.
You did say that the Carthaginians were annihilated. I don't think they were. Because the Tunisians were the Carthaginians. They are the Phoenicians. The Phoenicians are the Tunisians. It's just a variation in the pronunciation.
So the Tunisians are the Carthaginians.
The Phoenicians, that means the sea-going people. They were the ones who fought the Punic Wars with Rome under Hannibal and Hamilcar Barca, his father.
Good.
And was actually defeated in 202 BC.
So where are the Carthaginians now?
The Tunisians are the Phoenicians. That is the Carthaginians.
But they don't exist. What you have in Tunisia are Arab people.
Okay.
No. The modern people you have there are the Arabs.
The Carthaginians were an empire, including Nubians.
That
because
is correct.
When Hannibal crossed the Alps against Rome, he had Nubian archers with them. They were formidable archers. And then he had also Spain as part of the colony.
That is correct.
Of Tunisia.
Nobody is.
What I'm
that.
Saying that now, no. Can Carthage now go and establish Carthage as
no.
a country now?
No.
As
no.
Biafrans want to establish Biafra?
No.
That's what we're telling you.
Tunisia is a country.
No, Tunisia is not. Tunisia is an Arab country. It is not Carthage. It's an Arab country, full Arabized. It's a Semitic country. They are Semites. The people you're talking about, the people of Carthage, the Phoenicians, they no longer exist. If you like, go and do your test, go and do that. But the people, the Nubians, the people of the southern Sudan still exist today. The Nubians stayed. They maintained their... But as Basso was saying, where after the destruction of Carthage, incidentally, they, because of the affair of Hannibal, they destroyed Carthage, poured salt on it. The Roman general that conquered Carthage, they named him after Africa, Scipio Africanus. And that is why Africa is the only continent in the world named after a human being. There is no other continent on this earth named after a person, only Africa. So the domination of Africa, the enslavement of Africa didn't start today. If we had any brain at all of us put together, we should seek to change that name. Because that is the name of the Roman general that they swore. They swore because Hannibal, the only reason why he didn't take Rome was because they failed to send him reinforcements. He asked his brother for reinforcement. From the present day Tunisia, which was the capital of Carthage, and they didn't send him reinforcement. He had to go in, drink poison, and die. And his army fled. But the fact of the matter remains that the Romans never, ever, ever, ever forgave these people that black people can come from Africa and attempt to overthrow their civilization. Mm. And because of that, they came with so much anger, they came with so much venom that it remains the only place where the conqueror came, defeated, and poured salt on the ground.
What happened is they did send him reinforcements under his brother Hadrubal. But the Roman army ambushed Hadrubal and killed him, and then they threw his head through the camp into the Roman into the Carthaginian camp.
Into the camp.
It was then that Scipio Africanus then said that the only way they can defeat Hannibal, because Hannibal stayed in Rome for 10 years undefeated. Every single attempt made to defeat Hannibal failed. So they decided the best way is to invade Carthage
and destroy it.
And then they invited Hannibal to come back to defend his homeland. That's how Hannibal left Rome.
Which is what we should have done during the war. I'm not a military strategy, but that's what we should have done. Between 1960, of course, we were fighting against the whole world. It may not have been possible, was to open a front in the north, so to force the army to turn back. Maybe we have a veteran who called to correct me. The other day I was suggesting that we should have continued fighting the freedom, our brother said no. At that time it was impossible.
Because if
you kill one Hausa person, they'll come to an entire village and wipe them out. They were looking for an excuse to exterminate us.
So
if you kill a Hausa person, they will come to an entire village and wipe them out. But he's saying now that the condition is ripe now. For a guerrilla warfare, but not then. We are not advocating guerrilla warfare at all, because we are peace loving people. We don't believe in killing. We don't believe in spilling blood. This is Radio Biafra. We're coming to you today from London. This is our headquarters. We have found the contentious aspect of the Nigerian constitution, the constitution of the wicked, the constitution of the soulless people. It is called, in fact, there's a petition saying stand up against non-deletion of section 29(4)(b) of the Nigerian constitution, which opens up a loophole enabling female children to marry.
So
of
marriage. Yes, section 29.
That's what it is. Section 29, subsection 4b of the constitution. That's what we're discussing. They are acting. What they did was to vote to lift that very prohibition there. So you can go and pick up a child. It is here.
What the full
we read it is that the Nigerian Constitution is the supreme law of the country. The reason for contention is the proposed argument against deletion of section 29(4)(b), which states that any woman who is married shall be deemed of full age.
Okay. Yeah.
That is contention here. Okay. So it is very, very, that's what is happening. So they have cleverly gone and lifted it and says, once you are married, you have come of age.
Regardless of the age.
Yes. Rather than saying you have to come of age to marry. They twisted it around and say, once you marry, you have come of age. Rather than saying you have to come of age before you marry. Setting the cat before the horse.
And I know what they want to do.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, go on, barrister. Address the microphone.
Because if they say any girl that is married is deemed of age
to have consented to that marriage.
That means they want to use the Sharia law, because if you marry under the Sharia law, it is allowed, it is called marriage under Nigerian legal system. If you marry under customary law, it's called marriage. If you marry under the statute, the English law, it's called marriage. So the three types or four types of marriage, whether Islamic marriage, customary marriage, statute marriage, church marriage, is all called marriage under Nigerian legal system. So they want to now use this method and say, if you now marry under Islamic law, take a 8 year, 9 year, 10 year under Islamic law and marry, that by the constitution she is deemed to be of married, full of age.
Okay, now the question now many people is asking, does that mean that if a child of, for argument's sake, 6 years is married and deemed to become of age, can that 6 year old child vote? Can that since the person is now legally of age,
if right, they pass,
can
that
they
day,
still do what all of age human beings do?
Yes, if they pass that law, automatically they are deemed of full age.
So not only in marriage.
No, if the constitution succeed in passing it and say any girl that's married is deemed of full age, and then these Sharia people, Islamic people use it now. They can use it and they say all their children are married, and then they use it to vote in the election.
Okay.
But all the children are married.
Can I just tell you the actual content of that section?
Yes.
Okay,
it is all about it provides for a Nigerian to renounce the country's citizenship.
It's not what he read out now.
This is not the constitution.
This is interpretation.
Can we read it out?
Yes. Section 29(4)(a) is about renouncing Nigerian citizenship. They now talk about the age at which you can renounce. Now, section 4. Let me just read it.
Can you read it? Just read it out as it is. Don't interpret, just read it out as this.
Now, the section deals with renunciation of citizenship.
Yeah, that is the section. I know that section.
Yeah,
But read it out as it is.
Now, it's not as it is.
Okay.
Phrasing, but it captures
I have it here now. Okay. I'll read it out.
Provide that for a Nigerian to renounce the country's citizenship, he or she should not be less than 18 years of age. Now, section 29(4)(b) goes on to state that to be an adult, they're not defined who an adult is, the person must be married. To be an adult, the person must be married.
So we're saying basically the same thing.
That is section...
Uche, we are saying the same thing. This is the constitution here. Nigerian constitution. It's 29(4)(a). Defines the character of a Nigerian who is capable of denouncing citizenship, and clearly states that such person must be of full age, by which they mean 18 years and above, which is in line with the Child's Rights Act of 2003.
Good.
What it means in layman's terms is that the Child Rights Act of 2003 recognizes 18.
Yes.
That's what it's telling you.
Yeah.
Now it continues to say, Section 29.4b contradicts Section 29.4a and can cause misrepresentation in law and practice. Now, if they're saying failure to delete 29.4b has several negative implications. Criminal liability can be placed on underage married girl. An underage married woman can vote and be voted for, which is what barrister is saying. That's what they're trying to do. They want to get as many children into their homes as possible. And then they will say that because they have done this, they are using two laws against each other. Using one to counterbalance the other one. They can say, because I have married her, she's of age, she can vote. That's what that's all they're trying to do.
Let me just say something here. This section of the Constitution has been since 1999. Nobody killed himself. I'm not supporting it. But the actual section of the Constitution that caused confusion was Section 29.4b. Now, the Senate wanted to remove that aspect of the Constitution. But why it brought, caused outrage was because of the personality of the person who campaigned against its removal, and that was Yerima. Otherwise, this section of the Constitution has been there since. Now, Yerima campaigned that Constitution can, that aspect of the Constitution can, should not be removed. And at the end of the day, it was not removed. So it was not a new law brought in to be passed into law. It was for it to be removed from the Constitution. It was already part of the Constitution. But why this thing went viral was because of Yerima, because of his reputation. He was the person that campaigned for its non-removal in the House. And he won. And again, he married an underage child. So that was an underage girl, and that was why everybody was talking. We are not talking about this. The implication of this thing has been there since 1999. This implication we are talking about, why are we not seeing it before now?
Because
this is part of 1999 Constitution that the public has seen and said this is not good, it needs to be removed. Now, the Senate debated on it, whether to remove it or not to remove it. So it has been part of the system since 1999.
That doesn't make it right.
Now, what I'm trying to say is, why not this outrage since 1999?
Because what makes
it different?
Because it's a loophole.
What makes it different now is because of the person that was involved. Yerima was involved. He campaigned for its non-removal from the Constitution, for the Constitution to remain the way it is.
Yes, because they discovered...
he won because it was not removed at the end of the day.
No, Uche, I think the problem is that they discovered, as Barrister pointed out, that it is like any other loophole. People discover loopholes at various times in history. A law can be in existence for 1,000 years, and you discover a loophole to exploit it for one negative or selfish end or another. That is perfectly possible. What they have discovered, what the Northerners have discovered, is quite simple. We can go and pick up all the underage girls and get them to vote by pitting one law against the other. That's what they have done. And it's clearly spelled out here. So people realize what Yerima was up to and try to tackle him. And that's what they are doing. If you're joining us, this is Radio Biafra. We have delved a bit into the makings of the Constitution of Nigeria and how it should be interpreted for the avoidance of doubt. That is why we're going into this, so that we understand very clearly where we stand, that this is a two-edged sword. It can be seen from both ways. But the fear that most people are entertaining is that failure to delete this 29.4b, which Yerima won, has several negative implications. And what are those implications? This is the criminal liability can be placed on somebody who is underage and a little girl who is married, and an underage married woman can vote and be voted for. These are the implications of the non-removal of this very part of the law. Please, we must also apologize for not coming to you today with our normal studio line. We'll try to get it fixed and sorted by tomorrow. It's been a bit difficult for us, but we will try and have it sorted. We only came back today, and this is Radio Biafra, where this is of Radio Biafra, and the whole place is packed. We are here to, as always, every day, 7 p.m. London time, 7 p.m. in Biafraland, to bring you news, views, commentaries, and analysis regarding how we are all going to get Biafra. The studio is packed. Richard Mefo is here. Chukwune Bineziepa is here. Barrister Mamezu is here. Wada Malachi is here. Dr. Egemba is here. Our sister, Adam, is also here. And so is the barrister and attorney representing us in our case against Nigeria, Biafra versus Nigeria. Barrister Emeka Adofo-Mekensis is also here in the studio. We had a few discussions. We had some meetings, and we finished the meeting, and we're here bringing you Radio Biafra. And please, our people must realize the need for us to make sure that we acquire our transmitter as quickly as possible so that people back home may be able to partake in our programming. And if you want to see how you can help do that, please go to our Facebook page. Please go to the website. You see the donate button there. And all you need to do is to click. If you are living in the Western world, if you have a debit or credit card, you should be able to make a contribution towards the purchase of the transmitter. We are looking to buy the transmitter because Hausa people receive news from about 6-7 sources every blessed day. They have BBC Hausa service, they have VOA Hausa service, they have Deutsche Welle Hausa service, they even have France 24 Hausa service. They receive news in their language. We must also make it possible for people to receive news in Idoma, in Igbo language, in Efik, and in Bibio languages, in Ijaw language as well. I think those are the main principal languages we have, isn't it? Mm-hmm. There's a big debate raging about Urobo and Ishekiri.
Yeah.
A very big debate raging as to where they come from. Some people are saying we can have them in Biafra. Others are saying we cannot have them in Biafra, that there are more Yorubas than Biafran people. So we don't know how to... my knowledge of that very area is not as deep as I would like it to be before I weigh in.
Yeah, the only thing I can add there, just as barrister stated, when the case was in the court, they find who are the Biafras. Now, when remember, we all know how United States of America evolved. If Biafra comes and it happens that by the judicial definition of the way it was, that these people are not part of Biafra, and as a people, they want to, they have that willingness, that desire to become part of Biafra, it is now up to them to, through referendum, through the normal legal recognized, internationally recognized legal process, through referendum or plebiscite, or whenever all this, then this vote to say, no, we as a people, we decided and voted to be part of the Republic of Biafra. When that is done, then nobody will stop them from being part of Biafra, but there will be no coercion. The people will make the decision by themselves, and that decision will be respected by the people, and of course the Biafra people. And about the let me use this opportunity as well to comment on the Christians in the north, as you said. Now, let us remember that in the we can also, international law will also cover these people if they flee the north because of Christian persecution. If they flee the north and it happens to say that no, we want to go to Biafra land and seek solace there, seek if you like call it asylum or whatever, then Biafra people will consider it accordingly. They may want to go to the west, they want to go to other countries of the world where they feel they will be free enough to practice their religion. That will be dealt with. But if they come to say that because of their affinity, because of how the people of Biafra has always been consistent as a Christian people, that they want to come to the Biafra people to be able to have the freedom to practice their Christian religion, just as other Biafras do. Of course, I think we will be able to welcome them and accept them to be part of us.
But is it given that we are Christians? Is the reason why we are tagged or we embraced Christianity far more easily is because of its Judaic roots, because it comes from, is almost is a Hebraic faith, which is where most people say we come from. Is that why we embraced it far more easily?
Absolutely. And when the so-called came, they found a fertile ground from on our area as well, and our people embraced Christianity, and in that process, up to today, we are still the only area territory in Nigeria that are consistently and Christians, isn't it?
Mono Christians.
That's what I'm saying. Mono Christians. So, although because of material considerations and the greed, some people are now converting themselves to be Muslims.
No, let me tell you something about that.
Okay.
A report came that the Igbo Muslims are not really regarded as Muslims. That they go there for money, and you know that people usually say that Igbos can do anything to get money. That an Igbo man, a businessman who wants to get money, can go to Mecca and join the Muslim faith, and he get contract, get connections, and he get all these things. Then when he comes home in his bedroom, he said, "Not dead, Jesus, I beg. You know, something make crawfish bed."
Yes.
He said, "Chukwabiama, you know, that something make crawfish bed. These people don't make me suffer so much. I go do little thing, go get this money. But now you be my God, Lord Jesus, please, I beg, make you forgive me now. And I didn't do it, you know. They confess in their bedroom. They confess to Jesus Christ.
In their bedroom, they are Christians.
They are Christians.
When they come out, they wear abada and go and begin.
When they come home, they say, they Jesus, I beg now. You know, something make crawfish bend.
Okay.
So they now found out that it is difficult to make a woman a real Muslim. Anything, he goes back to Chukwabiama.
Yes.
He goes back to his
Let me give a perspective on the reason why I think it was easier for the East to accept Christian religion age, because our tradition is almost
Old Testament.
Yeah, almost the same thing. Old Testament with Christian religion.
Exactly.
So I mean it was very easy. Mm-hmm. Very easy. We found no difficulty.
Exactly. You're right.
And that is why, you know, it blended very well.
You're perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we were praying to the same God.
The same custom.
No other God.
Same tradition.
Yeah, so
the same tradition. Yeah. Yes. Ludie Aquino said when he was brought as a slave to England, and he, you know, the Igbo boy that was sold as a slave,
yeah,
that when his master taught him to read the Bible, he was so surprised when he was reading the Bible. He said, everything in my country is written, every custom we practice in my country is written here in this Bible. How did they know that this is what we do? The Old Testament is all Igbo customs and tradition. Omenala Igbo.
That is how it is. Yes,
which means the affinity between us.
Well, that is it's not coincidence. Yes, it's not.
This is Radio Biafra. If you're joining us, we are broadcasting today from our studios here in London. We've completed our tour of the United States and Canada. And we shall be heading out to some other countries in the future. And should that happen, we'll be able to inform you. We are grateful to everyone who made this trip a success. Nobody would then say that Biafra hasn't registered in the United States. It did register. And a lot of them came out in their good numbers. And we thank everybody. We thank the Anusium family, Martins. We also thank Curtis. Himself. We thank Moses Wingwe and family, Clifford Iranya and family, and also Gochukwu, who hosted us excellently well in Dallas. We thank the Madhawasi family in San Francisco, and also Odi and Blessing Morgalo in Los Angeles, and of course Dr. Justin Akujeze and the entire Ekwenche family in Chicago. We are grateful to Ndoka Ezechukwu. We are also grateful to all the people there, especially DK as well. We remember all you did for us, and also our dear brother Okorochi, and all the rest of you. We are indebted to the services you render to your country, and who will forget Eno Ibe? By this time yesterday, we were in Brooklyn, New York, broadcasting to the whole world, and today we are in London. Thank you, all the wonderful people in America, those that called in, those that tuned in into our broadcast. We are very grateful. Those that came to the town hall meeting at Olo Hall in York Street, in a place called Blue Island in Chicago. We are very grateful to all of you. And also the people that we addressed when we were in Atlanta. Hopefully Radio Biafra will be making a comeback to the U.S. in the not-too-distant future. We are very, very grateful to all of you. And if you are just joining us now, please, that this is Radio Biafra. The headlines we are bringing to you today is that that Nigeria is a country of pedophiles unless they repeal this law. It's a place where you can go and grab a child and get away with it because that child will be deemed to have consented to marriage. We are also reporting that the Anglican Church in Nigeria has called for capital punishment for members of Boko Haram. We want to know what the people in Yorubaland have to say about this. Because they comment on everything going, they comment on Good Luck Jonathan, they comment on everything apart from Boko Haram. Why is that the case? We're also reporting that the northern governors are arming militia for 2015 elections. Is Nigeria going to even survive 2015? Of course, we know it's not going to survive. And if it doesn't survive, will it go down the route of Somalia, or will it go down the route of Czech and the Slovak and Slovenia? We must say, this is another thing for everybody to ponder. Our case in the Nigerian court is still ongoing. The barrister himself is here. Barrister Emeka Odofemekesiri is here, reporting that our case is ongoing. We should leave the legal case to the lawyers to do and not to be speculating at all times, because that is not serving us any useful purpose. Speculation is not doing us any good at all. We do regret that we've not been able to connect with you via our normal studio line here in London. That will be rectified by tomorrow, but you can come to us via Skype. Our Skype is working very well. You should be able to get hold of us. If you call us and we can't take your call, please do know that we shall definitely come back to you. Barrister Mamezu is also here. Yes, Doctor, what would you like to say? Go ahead.
Yes, there was a question you asked before, which our listeners will...
You come to that next question. Let's take this call. You come to that question in a minute. This is Radio Biafra, the caller on Skype. Your name and where you are, please. Hello, the caller on Skype, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Where calling from?
From China.
From China. Please go ahead. We're listening. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, we are listening. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm calling from China.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Nnamdi, you're highly welcome back to UK.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I thank God for the journey mercy.
Thank you.
Yeah, please, I want to use this opportunity to call on all the Biafran people in China to join Biafran group in China. We are having our meeting every Saturday, and I hope by now some of them have received our flyers, and some of our flyers were sent to Nigeria and Gabon as well.
Definitely.
So I would like to call our Biafran group number. If any one of them is listening, they should pick it up now.
Yes, what is the number? Please give it to us again. Your number over there, give it to us.
Yeah, plus 86.
Yes.
130.
130 plus, hold on, start again, plus 86.
Yeah.
Plus yes, 130.
Yeah, 60.
60.
82.
82.
09 09 85 85.
Repeat, please.
Plus 86.
Yes, go ahead.
130.
Yes.
0 mm-hmm. 82 09 85.
Is that complete? Did we get this number, please, barrister? Did you get it?
Plus 86.
Yes.
130.
Yes.
608 20 985.
Did you get that? Repeat, please, barrister. Repeat the number.
Yes.
I said plus 86 130 60 820 985.
Is that correct?
yes.
Wonderful. So
that is correct. And another.
Yes, go ahead.
One.
Yes.
Plus 8 6.
Yes.
One, 3 5.
Yes. We've lost them. The line is gone. Please, barrister, can you repeat the very first one, please? Can you repeat the very first number he mentioned? That is the number in China. You don't need to be in Guangzhou area or is it near Hong Kong? No. You can call on the phone. You can discuss via Skype. Wherever you are in China, call this number,
call
please.
Call the Biafran people in China with this number, plus 861-3060-820-985. I repeat, plus 861-3060-820-985.
Yes, that is it. Tochi, are you there? Are you back with us? Tochi, can you hear me? No, he can't. He cannot hear me. The line is not very stable. I will ask him to please try and call us back. I hope everything is going to be hunky-dory, as they say in this part of the world, from tomorrow. We are suffering from a bit of jet lag, I think it is. But all is going to be well by tomorrow. We'll get the much-needed rest, and we shall proceed. And should people want to please... We are hoping that in the not-too-distant future, we should be able to have programs coming from different parts of the world where we have very strong presence, for instance, from Malaysia, from Canada, from the United States, and also from Senegal. We have Chidera back on the line. Is that correct, Chidera? Are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, that's very good. We're going through this very issue about the part of the constitution that dealt with it. And confirmation that everything we have been reporting so far has been accurately sourced. And that appears to be the case because we've been able to find the aspect of the Constitution where it says it might leave room for misinterpretation. But before you come in, please stay where you are. Let us take this call and then I go to the take and then come back to you. Give us your name and where you are, please. The caller on Skype, please.
We are calling from China. Yeah. Sorry, Ibuna. Yes, Jonathan.
Go ahead, we are listening. You're calling from China. Yes, go ahead.
We are calling from China.
Yes, we are listening. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to know everything about Biafra.
You go to www.radiobiafra.co. Go to the website, radiobiafra.co. Okay. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Thank you. This is Radio Biafra. Give us your name and where you are, please. The caller on Skype, can you give us your name and where you are? No, they are not there. Yes, Chidera, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Please stay after Dr. Egan, but then you come in. Yes, Dr. Gahid.
Yes, what I wanted to say is the question you asked, why, not just today, it is frequently occurring. Why our people are so afraid when they hear Biafra, so on and so forth? Barrister briefly touched about it. The way and manner the war was persecuted and ended and the effect it had on us. I'm quite sure that maybe people who are listening to us today, and even some of us here, every family in Biafra was affected by the war. Hardly any family that did not lose anything during the war. Our Igbo people normally say, "Ana asombabu agog." Now, are we going to say for the fact that we were defeated during the war was prosecuted in a way that was heavily against us? Our people should think that it was not just Nigeria that defeated us. The three superpowers of the world joined together to fight a country that is less than 6 months old. And we managed to hold them for more than 3 years. In fact, we should hold our shoulders high. There's nowhere in this wide world, please, if there is, call and tell us that a tiny, small country that has existed for less than 1 year managed to hold the three superpowers of this world. The United States, Russia, Britain, and all their allies. Russia. They joined forces the first time ever the Cold War rivalry was at its highest peak during the 60s. Now, the superpowers of the world, the antagonists of Cold War, buried their hatchet in order to fight this tiny, small country never heard of in this wide world. Now, why then must you continue to wallow in defeat when you fought like a gallant soldier? Remember, we did not have any ally that supplied us with any meaningful weapon. We improvised. The world, the Biafran people gave the world Ogunigwe. The Biafran people improvised everything we used to fight the war. We refined our own crude oil. Our scientists were at their best. Why then should you not be able to educate the world? We said, yes, I am proud to be a Biafran. What we did, no one else have done it, and no one else will ever do it. If you think that is easy, go and confront 3, 4, 2 superpowers at the same time and fight them and see how far you will go. That you lost your parents, you lost your family fortune, you lost everything is not an excuse to jump the from top floor window or to jump into the ocean when you hear the word Biafra. Please stand tall, beat yourself on the shoulder to say that yes, it is only the Biafran people that can withhold and withstand the world. We fought and lost only to fight another day. Why didn't we continue to carry on the war in a different format, like guerrilla war and so on? That is a different thing for a different day for historians, for military people.
No, they've said why veteran from Canada told us why it was unsustainable to fight guerrilla war.
Okay, yes. The only thing I want to add, please do not continue to wallow in defeat. It is over. We need to reclaim our land. We need to restore our sovereignty. If you continue to wallow in what happened in the past, if you continue to think of what happened, after all, those people you lost, those fortunes you lost, you are not going to get them back. But you can be able to get Biafra back. So it is not an excuse that you lost something. The war was prosecuted against us. We did what we can to withstand the war and survive as a people. We managed. So please do not give an excuse that the way war, when we are not talking of war again. When Biafra is mentioned, people say the war. No, we are not talking about war. If we mean war, we are not going to go into court. We will not have our barristers here giving us legal guidance and legal clearance or ways and means of achieving Biafra. Time of war is over. Now we are using our head, we are using our law, we are using everything we have, common sense, put together to achieve Biafra. We should stop being afraid on the mention of Biafra. Stand tall and think, ask yourself, what can I do to contribute to the restoration of Biafra? That is the only thing you do. If you don't do that, you are not helping yourself, you are not helping the Biafran people, you are not helping the world that are expecting Biafra to come back. The world is waiting. The world is waiting for Biafra. What are you doing to bring Biafra to fruition? What are you doing to restore Biafra? Thank you very much.
Please, there's something I want to add. You have said we are not talking about war.
Yeah.
We will not use war and so on. I want to bring some wisdom into this thing now, because the Muslims or the Sharia people who like violence may say, since we are not ready for war, that they can come and kill us. I want you to understand that if this war is fought again, it will not end like before. Understand what I'm saying. Because we say we don't want to fight, we don't want war. Eh? Some people may think that, we are afraid, we are cowards. What we are saying is that we have decided to use the legal method, not because we don't have the ability
to fight.
No. And let me tell you that if this war is fought again, it will not end like before. Don't think that the people of Middle Belt will support you again. Listen, if this war is fought again, the North should not think that Middle Belt will support them again. So because the Middle Belt people actually fought the war. So let them not think that Middle Belt will support them again, and they let them not even think that Yoruba will support them again. Because when we are saying we don't want to fight, we don't want to fight, they think that we are cowards. We are not cowards.
We are not.
We're only saying that we have decided to use the civilized method of dispute resolution by going to the court. But if the Northerners think that they have the monopoly of violence, that they can come and kill us, let them think twice. Because if they rise up to war, the war will not end like before. That's what we are saying. It will not end like it ended before.
We'll go down together. Everybody will sink together. This is Radio Biafra, the caller on Skype. We're extending our broadcast today because this is our return from the U.S. Even when Barrister Emeka out of Emeka City gets upset, you know there's something definitely wrong somewhere. That is, if Hausa people will not listen to me, you listen to him. Because
hello. Even,
yes, please go ahead. Give us your name and where you are again, please. Your name and where you are. Is that Tuchi? Is that correct? The line is gone again. Can you hear me? No.
Yeah, it's Tuchi.
Give us your name and where you are, please. The caller on Skype. Give us your name and where you are.
Hello?
Yes, give us your name and where you are, please. This is Radio Biafra from London. Your name and where you are.
This is Fred Onyale.
Yes, Fred.
I want to welcome you back from US and Canada.
Thank you very much.
And thank God for safe journey.
Thank you.
I had the conversation going on this time around about how people are afraid when Biafra is mentioned.
Yes.
And I had someone saying there will be no war again. Well, we like that, but and then Abacha ball and when it come match.
Yes.
So we have to, at the right time, I get near the top match. They can't just go free like that.
I agree with you.
So that should be in our mind.
Yes.
Again, I want to recall, there are certain points I want to remember. People are talking about who becomes a Biafran and the rest of that. But I feel that when they made mention of the Benin side and other areas surrounding Igboland,
yes,
I think that such discussions should not come in as at this time, because it may bring some bad feeling in the mind of some people, you know.
So is that not deception for us not to be open and clear with our people to say this is what we are going to do and actually go and do it?
When the time comes, there will be a referendum, and the referendum will clarify everything about that. That is my feeling.
Okay.
Another thing, when you were in America, I called to, you know, remind that we should not lose focus on the worldwide plan we have, you know. But on seeing the poster, the polos and the t-shirts on the Facebook, I came to understand that some people are working towards that, because it seemed to me that all attention has been focused on your trip to America and Canada. But I want to say that let people be working on that issue, so that by the time we are okay, all logistics put on ground, we can achieve what you want. This is my little contribution.
Yes. Yes, what you've said is correct.
I visited London when Radio Biafra was in America. You know, yes. It could have been an interesting thing for me to visit the studio of the Radio Biafra in London.
Yes.
But unfortunately, it's something good anyway.
But when you came in, why didn't you ask for the people who are here? Uche Mefo is here. Our barristers are here.
Well, I had no contact to reach them anyway.
But you should have called us on air in America or
I will
sent
make
a message.
It again.
Okay, when you come again, maybe.
Yeah, so I'm wishing you a good return from America, and I feel by God's grace the joy and the we have to reap a very big fruit from your travel to America and Canada.
Thank you very much.
So I'm using the opportunity again to call all Biafrans in Germany to always remember to get connected to all the Biafrans here by calling on the number 0049-1521-050-2264.
Yes.
In time to come, we are going to have a meeting and begin to set up our front from this part of the world. Thank you very much.
And your name again?
Fred Onyale.
Fred Onyale from Germany, the one coordinating Germany. There are other areas. There is Onyedikachiku Ezemba as well, because Germany is very large. Mm-hmm. So we want there to be three of you in Germany, three people in Germany coordinating the. Of course, you take the overall control, but there ought to be three other people sitting beneath you coordinating the the vast expanse of land that is Germany.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah. 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 Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very, very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. This is radio, but there's something that broke that we must read out to people so they understand what is happening, that Nigeria is indeed going to break up in 2015. Not because we are saying it at Radio Biafra, but because all our makers, our creators, you know, white people, they created us. After our names are Africa. We're Africa now. That's the meaning of it. They own you. Afri-Sipio Africanos conquered a sport salt on us and named us Africa, and we accepted it. There is a new publication that came out. We'll read it in full. Our brother Maz Uchen, who is writing on Radio Biafra Facebook page, if you write something interesting, we'll read it. He's saying, all hands must be on deck to secede from Nigeria peacefully and legally before the impending explosion program to occur in that country starts. In this, he's naming a publication titled Nigeria Unity in the Balance. It was authored by Gerald McLaughlin and Clarence J. Brojart at the Strategic Studies Institute, which is part of the U.S. Army College. United States Army is telling you that Nigeria is going to break. Anyway, I've been told not to say certain things on the air. I'll leave it for outside. But I can email the people. Is that, can I email them?
Email who?
Those that I want to draw their attention to is happening.
Of course, yes.
Can I send them email?
Yeah.
If I can't talk to them, I've been banned from speaking to them on the air. I can address them by email or text.
It depends on what you are telling them on the air.
Yes.
But you can, you can make a reference to the publication. So
it's a public document.
Yeah, it's a public document. Anybody can order it and read. So if we make a reference to it or review it.
How do we get our people in Maryland, especially, to read this one?
Well, where is the book now?
Right. You point it out to them, the title of the book, and listen.
This is on the website of United States Strategic
Studies Institute. Right. United States Strategic people, yes.
Issued by them.
By affiliated to the U.S. Army.
Strategic Studies Institute. Strategic Studies Institute.
Which is speak up, please.
United States Army.
Like your voice. Hand horse here, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it is Strategic Studies Institute of the United States War College,
yes.
Equivalent to Nigeria's war college.
No, don't, please don't compare it to Nigeria. No, why are you talking?
I just want to maybe
how do we get the document?
It's on
the
website.
Yeah, it's downloadable. You can download it.
Ah,
yes, okay. Uche, what I'm saying is that Nigeria has no war college.
Yeah.
What it has is a college of procurement and contract, arms contract. Not a college where you train people to go and fight. Did they distinguish themselves in Mali? Did they distinguish themselves in Liberia? Did they go to Sierra Leone and come up with any distinction? They went to Darfur. They were selling their boots in Darfur to survive. They have not fought in any theater and came back with any distinction whatsoever, apart from when they were led by Ironsi, of course. Let us go and take this call, because people are still calling. Do you want us to... Mr. Mamisu is looking at me. Yes, of course, he will say carry on. This is Radio Biafra. We are broadcasting from London. Your name and where you are, please. The caller on Skype, can you hear me? No, they can't hear me. Let's go back to Chidera. Maybe that's the cue for us to bring the program to an end. Chidera, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, what would you like to say? Because we are about to bring the program to a close, please. We are...
Okay. Yeah, concerning the constitution... Were you able to get what section?
Everything is here. It has been laid bare. Everything is okay. Clear for all to see.
Okay, yeah, then I have a question. Yeah, because in this alteration, there were 90 senators altogether that voted for it. And we've been taught that majority carries the vote. And since 60 senators voted a yes, which is that devilish constitution should be changed, then why should the vote of 35, which is less than 60, count? That's my question.
Because it's Nigeria. Why are you surprised? Nigeria, anything goes. It's Nigeria. Everything is upside down. The law is not the way it should be. Everything is upside down. That is why anything goes in Nigeria. You're asking us if you don't know. Anything goes. Nigeria is not a country you look at and you compare them or you see them as a country. No. It's a contraption. That's the English word for it. It's a joke. It's an excuse. It's an apology. According to one of my friends, he calls something an apology. Nigeria is an apology of a country. It's not a country. It's an apology.
Then Yerima is that he's indirectly telling us that he owns the country.
Of course, the country doesn't belong to you. It belongs to them. They own it.
Belongs to him and the Sultan of Sokoto. They've succeeded in placing Islam above all.
Yes, because it is their country. We are a member, as Barrister Emeka said, we are members of Organization of Islamic Countries. You are a member of OIC. If you like it or not, you are a Muslim. You are in a Muslim country, if you like it or not. That is the way it is. Please. Go ahead.
I'm not a Muslim, and that is why I need to get out of that place and we go get our nation Biafra. And I really hope our people are becoming mature, just like what you read out that someone put on Facebook that all hands should be on deck, unless they want to. The simple fact now is join Biafra or you become Islamized. That's what it is. It's time for them to make their decision. As that, like Joshua said, as for me and my family, we'll serve the Lord. As for me and my family, we are going to be Biafrans. I can never be an Islam. So the choice is left for other people to make. Thank you.
But the British said you should be Islam. That's what
I cannot be Islam. The British cannot decide for me what I'm going to be. I am not Islam, and I can never be.
Yes. Anyway, that's okay.
Chidera is right. I am concurring. I will rather die, commit suicide.
I'd rather die than be Islamized. What kind of nonsense is that?
Profess or declare myself or succumb to the Islamic faith.
There's something you said Britain wants us to be Muslim.
Yes.
It's not true. British government did not say you should be Muslims. British government allows freedom of worship.
But under something. There is freedom of worship in this country under the British Judeo-Christian laws. You can have your mosques here. You can build your temple. But the overarching value system is Christian value system. You can fit underneath as a spare tire. That's understood. What they're saying to us is that we can worship as Christians, but under an overarching Islamic state.
Okay, if you make that argument that they have empowered the Islamic people,
yes,
they empowered Islamic people,
yes,
maybe they didn't know the consequences of what they were doing.
You think so?
Maybe they didn't
know the consequences,
but right now, why I'm saying this, they have economic interests,
exactly,
and they didn't know the effect of that economic interest over the spiritual thing. For instance, when we were in the school in those days, we were arguing with some Muslim students. You know, usually as students argue among themselves, argue over this and that and that and that. And we were arguing on religion. And some Islamic Muslim students, they beat us in the argument. They said, we cannot believe your Christianity. We can't believe because your Christianity, you are fake and you are hypocrites. Because the same Britain that is the headquarter of Christianity taught us how to rule over you. Muslims were telling us this, yes, in Nigerian law school, exactly, that they taught us how to rule over you. And then what do you think? How do you want me to believe in you? That you are hypocrites. So they're not silenced, or we became ashamed. Mm-hmm. The Muslims defeated us in the argument and we bowed our head and we were ashamed and we walked away in shame.
And you went back to Ecclesiastes after that.
No. You see, what I'm saying is it's possible that the British people, they had economic interests in their mind, without realizing the spiritual implication.
Because right now, our message, the gospel message, could not penetrate the hearts of these people we are preaching to. Because they felt that, well, since Britain taught us how to rule over you, and you are telling us to believe in Christianity, that Christianity is fake.
Yes, but Mr. Mamas, you beg to differ.
I beg to differ in that line of argument. I do believe that the Britain has their own economic interest first, and then we're looking at people they can be able to use for economic benefits. You know, the first thing they did was to form the Third Marine Commandos to actually capture the oil producing area. And they started taking the amount of money or oil they're taking for the arms supply to Nigeria. Nigeria would not even account for it because it is not under their control. So they know what they are doing. They have benefited so much with this kind of arrangement. They knew that they would benefit economically if they aligned themselves with the Northern
Ireland. I don't buy that argument anyway.
They didn't know the spiritual.
And then that is what is the problem.
That economic argument, I don't buy it, and I will say why in a minute after Barrister Mamos. I'll tell you why I don't buy it. Because they are earning less now from a corrupt Nigeria than they would have earned from a developed Biafra.
Exactly.
They are earning less. Yes. Please, Barrister, go ahead.
Yes, Director. You see, Barrister Emeka Siri ought to know that the British are foresighted people.
They have vision.
So for you to say you don't think they know the repercussion or the implication, I don't accept it. Why don't I accept it? All right, let's run with your argument. Now, since they have known what is happening in Nigeria, what have they done? All right? So that is how you will know that they all know what is happening. Of course, you're quite right. The economic interest, that's what they go for. Americans, any European coming into Africa is for economic interest. If it doesn't favor them, they don't go for it. Now, the British, they all know it. These guys have been running empires for years. Do you know how many empires they have demolished before they came into Nigeria? They know the implications. Because the Igbos, the Biafrans, gave them tough time, they took us willingly and gave us the northerners in order for us to be submitted, submissive, and also subjugated. They know the implications. That was why, according to Director, our creator, Lugard,
Frederick
himself, says after 100 years, now we can carry on our business. Do you know how long the British have been taking our mineral resources to better themselves? Do you know that all these atrocities committed in Nigeria is not reported by any British media except Channel 4 when it pleases them? On few occasions, Al Jazeera will report on few occasions. Five Live is here, BBC is here, ITV. Name any media, the British got it, but they don't report. Why don't they report? Because they are well looked after, and Director knows this very well. My learned friend, do not say that they are not foresighted. The British who created that country, Nigeria, they know. And they know the implications. Let's take your argument. Let's say they do not know. All this has been happening. Our people have been killed. Have you seen Cameron or anybody report about
nobody
it?
Will say a word.
Impossible.
Even this sex abuse law.
I've not said anything about
no.
it. No.
If it is in this country, it will be the subject of all talk shows.
Every blessed day.
Thank you. Are you telling me that this important human rights
legislation
abuse this thing that is happening here? Nigeria, as a matter of fact, is a Commonwealth country.
It is.
Why are they oblivious about what is happening in Nigeria? Why do they close their eyes as if Nigeria doesn't exist?
Let us ask this caller, please. This is Radio Biafra, the caller on Skype. Your name and where you are, please. Your name and where you are.
Director is Nonso from Spain, Barcelona.
Yes, yes, Nonso. How are you? Go ahead. The world is
listening.
Yeah,
just want to ask one question. My question is, if the Northerners practice Sharia law, why are the Boko Harams in prison? I thought Sharia law, they can cut your hands and cut your head off. So why are the Boko Harams in prison?
I like your question. I like your question. They're in prison because they are waiting to get amnesty money. You know, they're waiting for the $33 million, okay. $33 million each.
So in the East now, you know, most of our practice, our character in the East now is like Sharia. Because before, my father told me that early, when they were young, they never subdue women. And now we know, you know, in our land now we subdue women. We practice almost our character in the East now is like Islamic. Yes. So we are talking about these people every day, but we don't know that we almost been Islamized. And these British people, they know what they are doing, and they continue. British want every Nigeria to be Islamized.
That is correct.
So that
I agree
they
with
everywhere
you.
Can be cool. So that yes. they can be stealing their, you know, they can be having their oil. Very good. But because that they know that. If we are divided, the milk will not come so easily like that.
But it will
so
come
if we are Islamized.
But it will come even better. It will come if you check the history of the world.
Yeah, I know,
in economics,
trade between
advanced economies is always higher than trade with a poor neighbor. You know, it's only if they have a more racial reason. If their reason for not allowing Biafra to emerge is a racist
they
one.
Don't want. They don't want Biafra,
racist,
but it depends on us. I don't know why our people don't hear this. Don't see. It depends on us. British don't stop us. Then call us fools. Then call us monkey because we don't think. If we think, then help us. If we don't think, then say, okay, then don't think. You see, they don't think. See, as they talk, you see, okay, this law now. They are just watching. British listen Radio Biafra more than we do, because then it's their business. So they don't want any fuck off from their business. So it's on us to do something. Me, I don't care. I don't care if it's legal means or whatever. But I know what's happening in Biafra land. These people want to deal with us, and they have done it before, and they can do it again. They not are busy buying arms every day, and they are buying arms and ammunitions.
Yes,
and we are here playing.
We can't even buy a transmitter. Talk less of arms. Okay.
My brother, 1 minute. Don't say too much. Don't say that they see us as monkeys. No. They don't see the Biafrans, or in particular the Igbos, as monkeys. They see us as clever people. That's why we are being marginalized. So, whenever you talk, don't say the British see you as monkeys. No. They fear you because they know what you can do. They know what you're worth. And that's why they keep you the position that you are by selling you to the houses who are back for me.
Yes, but the thing that worries me is that are you telling me that a case of this magnitude, if the Caucasus people, by which I mean the Chechens, the Chechen in Goshetia to precise, were to take Russia to court in Russia, that the world would not report it in the media? Why is it that we have a case in court with against Biafra versus Nigeria? Something as big as that. They don't want to report it.
It will threaten their interest.
They don't want to but their interest cannot be. We are not going to drink the oil. BP will still be there. Shell. But what we've been saying is that we will even develop other industries that will accommodate their expertise.
That
Britain stands to get more from Biafra than they will ever get from Nigeria. Britain will get more from Biafra. The only thing, after all, the British trade with the people in Singapore or with Malaysia is a lot more healthier than it is with Nigeria. Nigeria runs a rentier economy. In fact, I never knew until I went to Canada that Canada supplies more oil to the U.S. than Nigeria ever does.
Let me just say something about this issue of British aligning with the North and things like that.
Yes.
Yeah, they aligned with the North during the pre-1960 and after 1960.
Up till now.
And even up till now.
Mm-hmm.
But post-1960 relations between the North and the British has always been focused on the North doing their job very well. What are we doing? We are not doing anything.
What is that?
We can't just... No, I mean, they lobby the British. They know what to tell them. Just take, for instance, thousands of or hundreds of people from the eastern part of Nigeria were being killed by Boko Haram. But what the Foreign Office was able to say is that the official report is that they know that most of the killings in the north are Muslims. They ignored everybody that was being killed in churches and mosques. They said most of the people killed are religious leaders and Muslims. And it's an official report. What are people doing? Now, the North has been able to lobby recently the Western world, including the United States, to believe that the causes of the insurgency or the terrorism in the North has been that of poverty. These people were busy, you know, they were focused crisscrossing the world, lobbying different governments of the world, and they were able to get them on their side to believe that the United States, first of all, said it was about poverty. Now, reluctantly, they're beginning to change their stance. Instead of taking Boko Haram as a full-fledged international terrorist organization, they targeted their leaders instead, which is nonsense. And then our people are there.
What are they doing?
They want the United States of America
to come to them and give them the Africa. It's not possible.
It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work that way. The North are doing their work. Yeah. They know where to go. They press the necessary buttons. They work. We term these people as lazy people. They are not lazy.
They work.
They are intelligent. Yeah. You know?
Yes, they're intelligent because of there is a degree of patriotism in what they love their own people, and they demonstrate it, by which I mean they come out and they say they want to do something, and they go out as one and try to accomplish that. I think that the defeat of 1970 of the world against us that gave power to the Northerners, as I keep saying, that it fractured something. It wasn't just a mere military defeat. Something else was fractured. That ever went, since things fell apart in 1970, putting it back has been very, 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 very difficult. Apart from now that we're beginning to put the building blocks in place to, for us once again, to build a Biafra or a society based on truth and honesty, where you can come and trust what you're being told. And not all this idea that you're about to sell me out. You're asking me to come to a meeting because you're about to sell me to Nigeria. Once we get that out of our mindset, we should be able to make progress. That this is Radio Biafra. We have come to the end of transmission today. We will go around very, very briefly to please bring this program to a conclusion. We'll start with you, please, Barrister Emeka. Please go ahead.
Listeners, we thank you for your time with us. Barrister Emeka Emekesiri, God bless you. Please continue to listen to Radio Biafra. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Hi, Barrister Mezu. Thank you so much for your time. And of course, tomorrow we'll carry on. Biafra must come, but it has to be a collective effort. Good night.
Thank you. Yes.
Biafra's friends of Biafra, supporters of Biafra all over the world, those who are still wallowing in defeat of 1967 to 1970, the war is over. Wake up. We have to move on. If you want to continue to wallow in the zoo, in the destruction called Nigeria, in a child rapist country, continue to give excuses of fear. The war is over. Come out. Let us put hands together. With you, with me, with our collective effort, Biafra must be restored. And remember, with or without you, Biafra must be restored. But what role will you play in it? Will you give excuses of how you lost your family, how everything was lost during the war? The war is over. Stand up and be counted wherever you are. May God bless you and God bless Biafra. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is Shukun Ebunez. Thank you for listening to today's program. Continue to listen to Radio Biafra and support what we are doing, because with the collective effort, we will achieve our aim. And our aim is to restore Biafra, to get Biafra, and to create get Biafra state. Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Fellow Biafrans, friends of Biafra from around the world, this is Uchemefor 4 urging you to keep the faith and live the faith. Together we're going to restore Biafra. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Aframin Dekanis Bule. Pleasure serving you once again. We'll meet again, or we'll join each other again sometime tomorrow. would seriously consider bringing two programs from London, as we were doing in the US. We'll look at the feasibility of that and try to make that possible. Once again, thank you for listening. And do not forget to tell your friends about Radio Biafra. Do not forget to tell your friends that we are in court with Nigeria. Do not forget to tell them to join us, all of us, in what we are doing to bring about the restoration of Biafra in truth and honesty. Please join us again tomorrow. Good evening and God bless all of you.
Silly, you know, even men are no more like a silly.